This is the Early Edition Podcast with Phil Johnson on AM1150.ca and across the Bell Talk Radio Network.
I thought what would be interesting for us to do is go to the Vancouver Sauder School of Business and get their take on inflation and, more to the point, the interest rates and what their projections would suggest and what they're thinking about the R word. Thomas Davidoff is with the Sauder School of Business, joins me for a couple of moments this morning. And Klein's just mentioned in my ear, Phil, you said 214 and 209. It's a buck 14, a buck 09, not two. I don't know where the $2 came from.
No, it's $2.
Is it two?
It's two. Gas is $2, yeah.
I thought it was a buck.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. So let's deal with the R word and recession here this morning. Thomas Davidoff, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, listen, you are the guy with the crystal ball, the Swami hat, the tarot cards. But more to the point, you also have this incredible stream of data that keeps coming into your computers and across your desks. What is it all telling you?
Well, I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver here. Well, what we did see, of course, is a huge run-up in interest rates and inflation way beyond what we've seen in many years, which has, of course, required central banks to adapt their policies. And so in response to the consumer price inflation, which is, you know, at risk of being out of control, central banks are trying to pull the punch bowl away from the party, slow down consumer and business demand by raising the cost of spending money relative to saving money. And we haven't seen a major slowdown or recession yet. And interestingly, as you mentioned, maybe we're seeing a bit of good news with consumer prices the last few weeks. And we have seen interest rates start to come down, which suggests, you know, maybe people are a bit less worried about inflation when they were a month ago.
So there's also conversation, however, about another super increase of the Bank of Canada coming, 75 basis points.
Yeah, they've got an interesting problem. They want to retain their credibility. You know, they may have lost some credibility. I don't know that they did anything wrong, but they were very relaxed and effectively encouraged saving, spending by firms and consumers, you know, during the COVID shutdown with loose monetary policy. And when inflation emerged, they have to be credible. They have to tell people, we are serious. We are not going to let inflation get out of control. And now we see a bit of good news, as you mentioned, in gas and some other commodity prices. And so there'll be a question of whether they retain their sort of strict stance to be credible so that people say, yeah, you know, they're going to act against inflation. Or do they say, yeah, you know, we really don't want to cause a recession and maybe things aren't so bad. So, you know, how much they want to adapt to little wiggles in the news as opposed to, you know, retain their credibility but risk recession. That's an interesting trade-off.
Well, and I'm also saw a story that I was just reading this morning, or maybe it was just yesterday, that's talking about this massive onslaught of consumer goods that are about to descend upon the market everywhere. Everybody had placed their orders. There were challenges with the supply line. We keep hearing all about that. But now everything got produced, packed, and boxed. Then the challenge of getting a container, getting it across here. And now apparently there's all kinds of consumer goods that are about to descend on the market. But there isn't a market for it because they're totally outside the buying cycle. So I'm seeing suggestions that say that the prices are going to drop precipitously, and we're going to be hard pressed to resist the temptation to buy.
Yeah, you know, commodities. You always hear about cycles. For example, with hogs, you know, not something I would encourage people to eat, but it's something that people's diets. You know, you see a surge in pork prices, it takes time, of course, to raise pigs and kill them so people can eat them. And then, you know, as they're grown, the prices come down because the supply comes on maybe after the big demand increase, and you've got, you know, possibly too much supply for not enough demand. Lumber prices haven't, you know, maybe collapsed to a dangerous level, but we did see lumber prices at an incredibly high level and then come down as supply adapted slowly to conditions on the ground. So I imagine we will see that in another bunch of areas. You know, supply chains are complicated, and we knew there were supply chain problems, but how able and how quickly firms are able to adapt, you know, that's something we're in the process of learning.
So is a Walmart and a Costco and some of the other major retailers, IKEA, whatever, if these super retailers, I guess, for lack of a better word, are all looking at this massive warehouse that's just suddenly plugged and jammed, so they've got to start cutting prices and so on, is there enough there to I don't know, roll back the inflationary spiral or slow it down or?
You know, I don't know the extent of the inventory excesses we're looking at, but that's the basic idea, is we hope these firms have made enough orders and producers have been able to work out the kinks in getting stuff to sellers so that inflation gets back under control, right? I mean, there were disruptions due to COVID and, you know, knock-on effects, and hopefully they get sorted out, but you know, that, you know, this sort of microstructure of how that's happening on the ground is a bit beyond my comprehension.
Okay, listen, I appreciate the frankness with which you're going here. So let's just say there's going to be a recession. Is it going to be a quote unquote major recession, or is it going to be minor?
Well, I don't know that there will be a recession. I think, you know, things will slow down. You look at the housing market, transactions were going bananas, and now I think in some places you're at almost record low sales relative to inventory. So, you know, I don't know that there will be a recession. Again, beyond me to say how bad it will or won't be. If you look at the stock market, obviously, they're pricing in some significant risks because firms are trading for prices relative to earnings much lower than they were, and that indicates pessimism on the part of investors.
The other major barometer, for lack of a better way of expressing it, obviously, is housing. So as interest rates climb, as the Bank of Canada shoves interest rates up, you know, again, now you're hearing people who are deathly afraid that they're going to lose their homes. So how does that all play out?
Well, the good news is most people for the next couple of years are protected because either they've got a fixed rate mortgage and so just nothing changes. And most people, even with variable rate mortgages, who would worry about their ability to make payments, assuming they keep their job, they're okay because usually the payments don't change. You're just paying down the principal more slowly when interest rates rise, because for the same payment, you owe more interest, so you're paying down less principal. You know, in the long run, your retirement plan, that's not great news, but in the short run, it doesn't lead to default. What would lead to people not being able to make payments are, number one, of course, a loss of jobs and income, which, you know, is the risk with the recession, and number two, every year, you know, some people do have to renew their mortgage loans, and then at higher interest rates, payments do go up.
I was a much younger man living in Vancouver, down in the Falls Creek area, and I was paying 23%. It was positively a nightmare for a young family, let me tell you.
Yeah, you know, I was a lot younger when we saw those rates, but I do remember the first time I bought a house in 2002. This was back in the U.S., and the realtor I was working with said, boy, if, you know, fixed rate mortgages get under 7%, there's going to be a real bonanza because people have never seen such low interest rates. And, of course, if people start to pay 7%, you'd think that would be horrendous for pricing. I mean, a lot of the reason prices have exploded over the last couple of decades is low interest rates. And we've moved backwards more than 10 years in terms of interest rates in a very short time. So I'm actually somewhat impressed that we haven't seen a worse decline in housing prices as affordability gets much worse with these higher rates.
From the UBC Vancouver Sauder School of Business, Thomas Davidoff, I so appreciate your time, your snapshot, a look at the things that you look on a daily basis. And we hear lots of the stories about, but I appreciate some hardcore facts and some ideas from yourself.
This has been the Early Edition Podcast. Catch the Early Edition from 6 to 9 a.m. on AM 1150 and online at am1150.ca.